short. So pay attention, can you afford? Everyday conversation, decision making, breakdown, point of views, of course. He say, she say, see how we play. Real life issues, hit the replay. Debate in politics, what sport you profit with. Today's world news, food for thought, so come get a plate. Pull up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome y'all to another episode of the Daily Dollar Short Podcast. Once again, I lament the fact that I can't say as always, but I'm going to start the streak back up again. It's your host, Martin, so aptly dubbed High Yellow. Thanks for that one.
You're welcome.
I'm joined by my co-hosts, Marlon and Justin, Bald and Bearded and Keith Sweat.
You're missing one.
Huh?
You're missing one.
Yeah, I'm not going to say the last one.
I'm going to say it for you. Bald, bearded, and sexy.
You know what? It's I find it difficult to call another grown man sexy.
I'll say it for you. No big deal.
That's fine. Yeah. You know, am I comfortable enough in my masculinity to state that a man is attractive? Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can't say sexy, though, right?
No. See, that's crossing the line. That's like, I
understand
who was,
that.
Who was the joke? Bernie Mac, delicious. That was the joke back in the day?
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. You remember that?
No, was it delicious?
That was Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah, the one Cat Williams said.
So there's just certain things I'm not going to call another grown man.
I feel you.
Oh, and your boy said it on Fire After Next, Terry Crews, about Cat Williams. He said, magically delicious, call him Lucky Charms. I remember that line.
That's not what we were talking about.
But I'm saying it wasn't that line, though.
Cool. All right.
Sorry.
You're good. It's okay. So I'm here. I'm congested, but it's great. Seasonal allergies. Gotta love it.
COVID.
No, say, bro. I'm about to throw my boots at you, dog.
6 feet, bro.
Say, bro.
Hell no.
No. Like, you know what? I've had seasonal allergies longer than y'all have been alive. So.
I had asthma growing up and allergies, so ain't too far off.
Yeah, you know, I'm successfully medicated. But we're here to talk about something that is important to New Orleans. It's important to our democratic process. It's important to what affects in our city and how things are done and how things are run. And who are the people that represent us? So I had never heard of this before. We had the conversation about it, and it's called OPDEC. The
Orleans Parish Democratic Executive Committee.
That right there.
And there's also OPREC as well.
And then there's the Republican Executive Committee.
Yes.
For those who vote that way.
Mm-hmm.
And in all fairness, early voting ended Saturday. And now here we are. You're going to say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Early voting ended Saturday, and now here we are. Getting ready for your regular voting this Saturday coming, and we felt like there were some things you needed to understand. Now, as someone who had never heard of OPDEC or OPREC before, now it's one of those moments where this impacts what happens in the city, and we have an opportunity as citizens of New Orleans, people who are registered to vote, to let our constituents hear our opinions. Let our constituents understand who and what we support and what we believe in. And we have the opportunity to voice those things through the democratic process. Right. No matter how many people try to take away those rights from us.
Mm-hmm.
So, little fun fact, both Justin and Marlon have been members of OPDEC.
Yep. Marlon actually got elected. I got appointed.
So, look, covering all bases, appointed and elected.
Yep. But I ran.
You ran and got appointed.
Yeah, so what happened was I ran for OPDEC in District D in 2012.
Okay.
Around this time, 12 years ago, actually. And I had signs, push cards, did the whole, you know, everything. So I was number 15 on the ballot.
Okay.
You elect 14 in your district. I was number 15. There was some woman, I forgot what her name was, but her name started with an A, last name. Hawkins. She wasn't on any ballots. She didn't have any signs, but she got a crap ton of votes. So because my signs, my last name was highlighted in all my signs, it's like the first thing you saw. I feel like personally, a lot of those votes went to her instead of me. But because she wasn't really on, you know, she wasn't doing anything. I had never even seen the woman before. I knew everybody else was running.
Except her.
And it was kinda crazy. I guess it was a lesson for me to learn, you know, that sting of losing.
Yeah.
But 6 months later, somebody ended up dropping off of the District D roster, and then Congressman Cedric Richmond appointed me to the seat after chewing me out on not calling people and sending emails requesting their support. But that's a whole nother story for another day.
Okay.
Yep.
So how did you, what made you want to run for OPDEC?
I wanted to, at the time, the whole, you know, thrill of being around politicians and stuff like that, you know, it just seemed fun. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be in a position to, you know, help my people, my black people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like the first step into becoming a politician.
Getting involved in some capacity, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Marlon, tell us about your soiree, your step into OPDEC and how you got involved.
So a friend of mine, friend of the family, name is David Flemings, who's running for OPDEC.
District C,
yes. Okay. And he had a conversation. He's like, I think you should run for OPDEC. I'm like, what is that? He said, don't worry about it. Just run for it. Sure, David. Why not? Next thing you know, he showed me the results of the election. I had the most votes out of everybody.
And I was landslide.
Like, it was a landslide. And then I looked at the my name, of course. I'm like, David, was it my name? Or was it my dad's name? He said, oh, well, we could have put the second. I wanted you to win, so therefore I just put your name and your last name.
A little disingenuous.
I'm like, okay, sure.
Okay.
So I go there for the very first meeting, and I'm just bored out of my mind. I'm 25 years old this time. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just here in a room, bunch of suits, listening to... I can't remember what I listened to. I was just so bored.
10 years ago, so that would have been 2014.
Yeah, okay. right after college, and just...
Mm-mm.
For me...
That would have been 2016.
I graduated in 2013. I was still in college. After college.
We might have ran the same one because it's every 4 years.
Maybe. I don't remember. Regardless, though, I didn't fully understand what I was doing.
Okay.
Now I know, as a little older, I kind of wished I was in a more better position to understand what I was doing, listening to the issues and whatnot. So looking back, I wish I would have done things a little bit better. But.
Okay.
It's experience.
Mm-hmm.
You said no?
No, I mean, my experience was, you know, I got to learn a lot from the late, great Felicia Khan. She's, you know, she was big on, you know, women's rights and mm-hmm. stuff like that here in the city. She's a legend. So I was able to just learn from a lot of different elected officials. James Gray, I mean, he great guy. He can talk to you for 3 hours straight.
Yeah.
That was my experience with it. I know... Oftentimes they had like issues with getting everybody there.
Yeah,
that was quorum issues and stuff like that. She couldn't really move on too much business. But I mean, they had dinner. So you know, always, you know, coming out of college, that was a free meal that Wednesday of the month. Something I didn't have to worry about. So that was cool. But for me, it was just a learning experience because, you know, I've been in this vocation or field of government and politics since 2010.
Okay.
So, you know, just those early years being able to learn from those folks. Yep.
Wish I did that. I was like, I wasn't so focused on politics like ever up until the past couple of years. To be around you, just kind of learning more and more.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, I didn't care. Well, I didn't know any better.
I mean, I don't really care now, and I'm still in it. I have no interest.
But you have a lot of knowledge. You have a lot of knowledge, though.
Yeah.
So you have a good experience of. What kind of goes on those type of situations, those environments, but yeah, James Gray was the president at the time,
mm-hmm.
and to that point, he would talk on. I'm like, man, just he won't stop talking, and it's like the same issue would be discussed. I'm like, to that point,
mm-hmm.
People not being there, like I'll be in there, maybe me and maybe six other people,
mm-hmm.
sometimes at most be 10 yeah. out of 14. Just it didn't seem a lot of people committed to it. Just put their name up to get voted, yep. and that was it.
And so it's not a paid position?
No.
Nope.
There's no financial benefit to doing it.
Nope.
There's no. So what would you say is the benefit to being a part of OpDeck?
Put your resume.
Yeah, put it on your resume. I put it on mine for a little while. Put it on your resume.
Done that for mine. Shit.
And I think mine is still on my resume. But
mine's
like,
not, I don't know.
If you're talking too late, Marley. 14 people, 5 council districts, you're supposed to have 70 people at these meetings, and you probably only get 10, 15. Most of the people, in my humble opinion, who run for OpDeck that aren't elected, just want to be involved with that stuff, you know, just to say, oh, I'm elected to this and be in those rooms and, right. and have mm-hmm. those conversations and stuff like that. Yeah, I personally feel that elected officials, I mean, you're elected to get on OpDeck, but like those who are already elected to positions shouldn't run for OpDeck. That's my personal opinion.
So a lot of elected officials are running for OpDeck.
Mm-hmm.
And that, would you say that's a conflict of interest?
I wouldn't say it's a conflict of interest. I would just want to, I feel like, you know, you've done the hard work of
becoming an elected,
you know, you don't have to do, it's kind of overkill. Because people already know who you are. So like let, you know, John Doe, who doesn't have any name recognition, run to become, you know, more politically involved and build up their resume.
Right.
I mean, I get why you would want to run as an elected official, do it, but personally, if I was an elected official, I would not run for OpDeck or Democratic State Central Committee or any of those things.
Okay.
I'll just focus on my seat.
So what is the purpose of OpDeck? Like if you had to say OpDeck is to do like these two or three things,
mm-hmm.
what is that?
To elect the best Democratic candidate. So like if you're running for councilman.
Right.
You're going to want the endorsement of OpDeck as their candidate for okay. that race because mm-hmm. you have 70 elected officials backing you. So that okay. looks good on your political resume as a candidate. Just like you would want the endorsement of IWO.
So it's clout.
I mean, maybe.
To be very reductive for a second.
Maybe, yes. If that's what you want to call it, but yeah.
But no.
But you got the AFL-CIO, which is the union. You want their endorsement. You right. want IWO, which is the Independent Women Organization. You want their endorsement right. just to say that you're the candidate of the common folks, the working right. people.
And that's what OpDeck should be from my understanding so far. It should mm-hmm. be working people. It should be a collection of from the short conversation we've had so far, 70 people from across the different districts in the city who come together to endorse candidates.
Yes.
Now, do the 14 from each district endorse candidates for their district?
I mean, like if there's a council person, they'll endorse. But generally, it's a collective. Like, it's a collective endorsement.
So then they would endorse what people that run for?
State rep, state senate,
okay. city council. So higher up positions, not so yeah. much lower positions. Yeah. Not so much your city politics, but more your state politics.
I mean, city too.
Mayor and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
If you're a Democrat.
Is that governor too?
Yep. But, I mean, it's Orleans Parish, so, you know.
Yeah.
The focus is people who run that live in the city. But right. of course, you, that, you can okay. endorse.
But if you're a state rep for the part of the city or something like that, or mm-hmm. you're getting to that point, then yeah. And I mean, you know, in my mind, as we have this conversation, I feel like OpDeck should have more sway. Because it's everything goes the way New Orleans goes. Realistically, mm-hmm. like if it was filled with the right people, and if it was not something that was just there for self-interest,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the truth is the state goes the way New Orleans goes. If New Orleans is successful, the state is successful.
Depends
New Orleans makes money, the state has money.
Depends on the situation, but yes, mostly yes.
Generally speaking. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah there are some issues where a little bit different, but mm-hmm. generally speaking that. So just in my mind, this should be probably bigger than what it is. But it's also, as you said, people double dipping.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I get why you would want to run because, you would want to have...
It gives you a greater degree of control.
You know, and you get to bond with your peers also and build those relationships. I would say OpDeck is fairly, it's a big deal to those who are involved in that space. Right. So like, if you're not involved in politics and government, you probably wouldn't even know it existed.
That was me included. That was me.
Not until we had the first conversation we had about it did I know it was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And OpDeck's been around for how long?
A long ass time.
Yeah.
I don't know off top, but it's been around for a while.
So as far as the process for OpDeck goes, early voting ended this Saturday, just passed. We have regular voting coming this Saturday, which is election day. It's a one-day election. It's just happening that Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8 to, so, 8 to 8?
Mm-hmm. Hours? I think, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's on a Saturday. Most people not at work. Go vote.
Right.
Get yep. it in. It's important.
Mm-hmm.
No football, no basketball, so no excuses not to go.
That's it.
Probably still going to be a low turnout, though.
Oh, yeah, because we have a historically low turnout for elections if it's not president or...
Mayor,
yeah. So
this president nomination.
So, does it even matter? It was Joe Biden, man.
Joe Biden.
Sure. Joe Biden.
Just saying. So go do it.
But yeah, so depending on the district you're in, well, not depending, regardless of the district you're in, you're going to go in there when it comes to OpDeck, and you're going to select 14 individuals
right.
for the OpDeck for your particular district that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there... votes are tallied and those officials are announced and selected to represent your district for the Orleans Parish Democratic Election Council.
Executive committee.
That part. Yeah. I'm not great with words today.
I got you.
Yeah. That's I appreciate good. That. Teamwork make the dream work. So.
Yeah. Definitely get the Go Vote app. You can get a early chance to look at your voting ballot, get a feel for the people who can vote you're voting for in the district. And maybe do some background and see if, hey, that person, I'll vote for him. So just do a little homework.
Absolutely. With the... So as far as requirements to run for OpDeck, because I'll say this. If you've ever looked at running for an office, there is not a great, like, standard there.
What you mean by that?
So, like, the requirements to run for a political office in the state of Louisiana, like, the bar is not set super high.
It's not because I ran.
Well, I mean,
you go back to that point and I ran. That's the one that bitch. Excuse my language. Go ahead.
So, I want to look this up because I want to be correct on it.
Let's see, because you have president nomination, you got. Representative District, Office A and Office B, and your OpDeck members. I ain't seen anything about amendments like they normally do in an election, so I guess we're okay with that. That's always
That's normally in the fall.
Okay, that's good to know. I'll be understanding half that stuff they be saying for amendments. I'm like, yeah, yes, no, but that's ignorance, so gotta do more research on that.
So...
if you're in District C, make sure you vote for Maul DeFillo, not me, for my father. Thank you.
Your dad's running for...
Yes, he's on the ballot. Number 137.
You should run next time.
You should.
I just might.
I mean, you got a household name. You really do, man.
Yeah, I mean, you were born into it. I mean, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Me running for an office at this point in my life, it's not a good look.
Why not?
Have y'all ever Googled my name?
Let's do it, shall we?
So, basically, just to put this out here, if you wanted to run for, this is important, school board,
mm-hmm.
right? The candidate shall have attained the age of 18.
Sorry.
Resided in Louisiana for the preceding 2 years and have actually been domiciled for the preceding year in the parish ward or district from which the candidate seeks election. The candidate shall be able to read and write. At the next regular election following reappointment, the elector may qualify in any district created in whole or in part from a district existing prior to reappointment. No person is elected to serve as a member of school board for more than 2.5 terms. Da, da, da. Basically, you got to be literate and 18 and live in the area you want to be elected and to be a school board member. That's it.
Yeah, because it's up to the populace to vote the best candidate in.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
No. But the bar is incredibly low.
What more requirements do you think there should be?
For school board?
I'm sending y'all my election results so you can see I was number 15 out of 14.
How do you find that?
I remember the day. I remember the day I lost. I'll never forget.
I gotta find mine if I can somehow figure that out.
Wait, so Marlon, you looked up my name?
Yeah, it popped up where you work at, account manager at LTL at TQL.
Uh-huh.
That popped up. And your dad popped up as well.
What popped up for him?
Chef.
Okay.
Chef to you catering.
Okay, yeah.
And then your picture from LinkedIn.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it?
Keep on scrolling.
Keep on scrolling.
What are we missing here? I'm invested. I want to know.
I haven't looked in a long time.
Uh-huh.
Were yours again, Justin?
You ran for District D.
Yeah.
So that was 2012. I'm going to 2016 to see. And your name
so
is
2012.
Probably,
so
your name's probably gonna pop up. Yeah, because I remember everybody who ran. And if you see the person whose name was there, you'll see she got a lot of votes.
If you scroll down to the NOLA.com article.
See, Wesley Bishop's on here. See, Royce Duplessis is on here. Justin Hawkins, 881 votes. Yep. Arthur Morrell, J.P. Morrell.
We were in the Huffington Post. We'll tell you about that.
I didn't know I ran in 2016. No, for real. I don't remember running in 2016.
Wait, so you ran twice?
I didn't run twice, bro.
Oh.
But it says I ran. That's so odd.
Shut up, man.
Hold on, something ain't right. No, I see Marlon's name on there. He got 4,792 votes.
God damn.
Thank you, my people.
I don't even remember running in 2016.
So that's 2012.
I remember running in 2012.
But then those elections.
2016.
2016. Okay, yeah. So I was out there in college, yeah.
So it was 8 years ago for you. 12 years ago for you.
Well, obviously not 12. It was 8.
So you ran in 2016, not 2012?
I ran in 2012 and apparently 2016.
Oh.
So 2016.
Boy, life comes at you quick. It really right does. Now.
Jesus Christ.
I'm looking at this, but like if you look at who's in District D, uh-huh. I mean, you got the
Eight
great
years ago. I thought it was 10,
the person with the most votes was Joe Bowie. Former Suno Chancellor. I think he was chancellor at one point, or acting chancellor. He's a state senator now. Nooney Man.
Oh my God.
Jared Brosette.
Remember Jared.
Sydney Cates. Catherine Cates. The great Marlon DeFello.
Hello.
Adonis Exposé, former Zulu King. Eugene Green. Eugene Green's son. Sandra Green. Randy Greenup, who is brother-in-law to, what's his name? Cedric Richmond.
Okay.
Cynthia Hedge Morrell. J.P. Morrell's mom. Most of your elected officials at the time lived in District D. Arthur Morrell, he was the clerk of criminal court, Tanya Sylvester, Krista Morrell, Matthew Willard.
Matthew Willard, yeah.
There was a lot of household names at that time, so mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is he a state rep right now?
He's a state rep right now. Yep.
Forgot about him, yeah.
But that just goes to show how popular your dad is.
Yeah.
Your dad's extremely popular, man.
Back then he was.
He's still popular now.
What was it? 4,000 votes. Good Lord.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I'm going to screenshot it.
Yeah, send it to me. That's wild.
I don't remember running in 2016, though. I just don't.
Y'all learning something new.
I just don't.
So, we were talking about what would we do different, or what would I do different, rather, if make the because I feel like the bar set low for elected officials, or the for the for what to be what it takes to be considered to for an elected office. Like, I feel like the bar has been set low. I mean, mind you, I feel like the bar is that low because when people first started getting elected, being literate was not a thing a lot of people were. Like, they had to put their mark, you know. And we're talking about, you know, Civil War era. You know, they had to come up with rules and regulations, and you had to be literate. You had to be read and write. You had to be of legal age and be able to read and write and live where you want to be elected. Which we see across the U.S. issues with people not living where they're elected. You know, because that happened a lot. That came up a lot in Tennessee over the last year. A couple elected officials not living in their districts and things like that. But if we were talking about, like, school board, I would want them to have experience, like, actually in a school. Like, past educators and people who have actual educational experience in an accredited
teacher
school.
Oh, an accredited school. Okay.
Yeah, like actual institutional experience.
I know some of them are, but I you would like people to have experience in the jobs that they're running for, just like everybody. Like if you're going after a regular job,
right?
You need to have. I agree with that.
I think that's my biggest thing. Because you look at people who get elected based off of the support with no actual idea about what it entails. And they have these really disconnected ideas of what it takes to do the job or what it takes to be in those positions. Like being an educator is not easy. I'm using that for an example because educators get like a... Educators get a rap right now that I don't like. Like being an educator is easy. It's not. You are a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, I have family and friends who are in education or are still in education. Marlon, you have family and friends that have been in education. People we've interviewed before who are educators at different levels. And it's like when I look at like school board policies and when I look at national policies for education, this is like, how the hell did we get here?
Sure. Yeah.
And it's, you know, I always think back to who was the person Trump appointed over education?
Vince McMahon's wife.
That's Vince McMahon's wife?
Yeah.
I did
not. No, she was over SBA. I'm sorry. God, what was her name? I forgot. It was
Secretary of Education, because she looked like a skeleton.
She was I forgot her name, but I know Vince McMahon's wife was over SBA.
Was this Hispanic Vince McMahon?
It was prior to the Botox, Vince McMahon. Steroid, Vince McMahon. But yeah.
Betsy DeVos.
There you go, Betsy.
And like, she's so detached from reality. Because I think the only experience she had with education was like private schools. So you're making someone from private schools where they have money and resources and all these things because all these kids pay thousands and thousands of dollars a year. Their parents pay thousands of dollars a year for their kids to attend these schools. So they have money and resources and booster clubs and alumni. Like, it's elementary schools with alumni, which is crazy. But
insane.
That's
I said that's insane when you think
about it. And it's like,
hard for my elementary school.
Gang. I remember back when we was in pre-K.
Right.
Back there sniffing glue, boo.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I agree with you. I just know, like, being in this business for a while, a lot of people who run have good ideas. But, like, when you get in the job, it'll kind of humble you. Like, oftentimes, people who run spend their first terms of whatever it may be learning how to be said elected official of said seat. And that's kind of like the process. So it's like you have people who are energetic and ready to go, but they don't know what the hell they're doing. And then you got the veterans who are kind of like jaded and older, but they know everything. So it's kind of like an imperfect, perfect process. And I've seen it all the time. And it's oftentimes, I mean, I've been in positions where I've had to give advice on how to do certain things to newly elected people in certain positions, just based on me working around these positions. But yes, it's you got to have a love for this type of stuff.
Right.
You really do, because it's a thankless job.
But to that point, though, those who are new, come in, energetic, like yourself, or the other people that
I ain't
work with you,
man. Huh? I ain't energetic.
Just a bit of this. I'm saying,
I mean, like the other people that come in. I'm talking like the people that come in, know what they're doing. At least they get a lot of help, but there are people that help them besides mm-hmm. yourself. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that's good at least.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's staff with everything.
Like, yeah, just making sure.
I mean, and I think it also leans to like who you put around yourself.
Yeah,
because when you get elected to, for the people who aren't actually elected to an office, they pick a staff. They build out a staff. So mm-hmm. at that point, that's when you have to understand. You kind of have to know what you don't know,
mm-hmm.
which is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But putting the right people around you who do know, that's where you get the wins.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yep.
Now, of course, as OpDec, you don't get no staff. You are the staff.
Yeah, it's just most people cut their teeth with OpDec or like the school board and then go off to higher positions. Because, mm-hmm. like how it used to be when I started, you started off like running for OpDec and then maybe branching out and running for school board or running for state rep and then mm-hmm. running for state senate and then coming back to the city and running for to the council.
Okay.
And if you last long enough, running for mayor. But now it's different since, you know, things have kind of changed. We've gotten more people who moved in from other places.
Right.
Some people just run straight for whatever. Like right. they might not have had prior service in all these other areas. They just run for whatever the office may be, city council,
money,
or mayor.
They just go.
And, you know, you have people who have those, like in other places, it's a little different. Like if you want to do it, you have a passion for it and you run, you go out there and you get it. Here, it's kind of like you got to build your political resume.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's kind of shifting. It's kind of shifting. So
where do you fall in that? You think it's better to just start working your way up versus just hopping right into it?
I'm in the middle. Mm. I'm in the middle without saying too much. I'm in the middle because I get when you run for office and you work your way up, you learn a lot. But you also run the risk of falling into this category or this group of people and that group of people. And then say if you were supported by this group or this other group might not like you off a general principle, and then that hurts you in the long run. Even though you've put in the work, this side might have more money and they put a candidate up against you and now you're gone. And all of your knowledge and expertise on how to do things is gone. And you might have been the best candidate for that position, and then this person doesn't know anything that they're doing and now they have to learn. So it's just kind of like a cyclical?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dirty part of politics, huh? Nice. It's like a dirty game.
So, if somebody wanted to run for office,
mm-hmm.
and they want to run under one of the parties, they have to get support from the party. Like, if they wanted to be registered as like a Democrat or Republican, and they wanted to run for office.
It depends on the seat, because not all seats require you to have a party affiliation. So, like, if you want to run for governor, of course you're going to want to have the backing of whatever party that you're in.
Okay.
But, like, if I'm running for mayor of New Orleans, and I know New Orleans is a mostly Democratic city,
right.
I might not even need the Democratic Party because, shit, the person I'm running against is 9 times out of 10 going to be a Democrat also.
Right. Okay. Mm.
Maybe 10 times out of 10.
I mean, they normally are people that run. You see a few people who are Republicans pop up, but they never last very long.
Nah, not in this city. We're a blue island.
Is that a bad thing?
Ruby red state. To me, no, because we have so much power here in New Orleans. We're able to. It kind of balances out with the rest of the state. So yeah, you might have like folks from other parts of the state kind of trying to want to dictate what's going on here, but it kind of mm-hmm. never really works out because we have so much influence here. And I'm not even talking politically. I mean, you're talking all your major companies and businesses and stuff like that are here in the city. So it kind of balances out.
Okay.
I remember I was told one time the most powerful person in the state isn't the governor. It's the mayor of New Orleans. It might be changing. I don't know. But it's a balance.
Don't feel like it right now.
Why? Because of Governor Landry?
Yep.
I mean, he's just doing what he said he was going to do. He's appeasing to his base. And it's kind of like when we have a new president, the first 100 days are the most important. Because after that, you're going to be spending time fighting with Congress.
Yeah.
So, I mean, within his first 100 days, I think he's passed the majority of his agenda. Which is what most politicians do.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I'm not really surprised at what he's doing. He's using his power as governor to call a special session to push his crime bill. Because in a regular session, that crime bill probably wouldn't pass. You know?
Ooh, yeah.
It might have passed, given we're super majority in the legislature. But, you know.
It still wouldn't have been quite as easy.
Yeah.
All things considered.
Yeah. You give people more time to come in protests and stuff like that. Yep.
Should be fun. Next 3 years of Jeff Landry.
I mean, it's going to be what it's going to be.
Yeah.
But the reality is right now, what we're facing in the city is elections that affect who runs our city.
Yes.
And OpDec being one of the first ones. Because this is, you know, whether you vote Democrat, whether you vote Republican, you know, whatever your political leanings are, the truth of the matter is there's 140 people that are going to be voted into a position that has influence on who goes where, who does what, who has the support from their respective parties, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And as a community, collectively, we need to be involved. You need to go out and, you know, use the Go Vote app. Look at the people that are running for the OpDec position in your district.
Yep.
And whether it's name recognition, I know New Orleans is a very who you know, not what you know city sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you know somebody or you know a last name, because Lord, do we even know, if we don't know nothing else, we know last names.
Because mm-hmm.
we'll find a family quick, fast, and in a hurry. Oh, that's your cousin on this side. And, you know, y'all used to play together and da, da, da. And, you know, this, that, and the other. You know, they went to school with so-and-so. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, he went to 35 back in the day. He went to St. Aug back in the day. Brother Martin, Holy Cross, da, 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 da.
Yep.
You know, he went to Warren Easton. You know, yeah. Whatever it was back in the day. Yeah, I knew him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We look, all that. It is hard to throw a stone in the city to hit somebody that don't know nobody.
Which is kind of goes back to our early discussion about, you know, Marlon running for OpDec just on a whim and getting
4,000 votes, y'all.
For almost 5,000 votes, and then, you know, myself, I had to be appointed. So, you know, that's how it is, you know.
Did it say how many votes the woman got?
Yeah, she had 1,300.
Okay.
1,330.
Those that are probably yours.
Yep.
So, silly question. Do you think they should make headshots next to a person's name on each ballot?
You mean like in the voting booth?
Mm-hmm.
No, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a mailer with that person's face on it. So you can walk in the booth
ballot. Right, yeah, so, no. That aspect of it. But not everybody has that, though. You think about it. You know, you go in there, you may have one, some don't. They just go in there, vote, and then walk out. Yeah. I've seen that. So
most people aren't even going to care enough to go down. Most people aren't going to care to vote for 14. And those who do vote, they're probably just going to go straight down. And if they really care and they're really paying attention, they're going to go based on whatever mailer they have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go even lower, they're going to vote for those that they know.
Correct.
So
if I were to run, this is my last name, Dines, I'd be pretty high up on the alphabetical list.
Yeah.
Is it done alphabetically?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
We see you in 4 years, huh?
You know, I might do it in 4 years. I'll be 41. Oh,
damn.
I said that out loud.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
It hurt. You're right.
I cracked your neck.
you got people in their 70s running for OpDec, man.
That's another thing. Oh, God.
At that point, such age now. You ain't getting paid for that? No.
Like, if you can collect Social Security, you shouldn't be at a rough office.
Mm.
Not disability, Social Security.
I got you.
If you can collect actual Social Security, if you are past the age of retirement, mm-hmm. go sit your ass down.
Damn.
What?
I mean, I get it. I think there should be term limits in Congress.
I think there should be term limits everywhere.
Yeah, well, Congress in particular.
Yeah.
Because you can, like in Congress, you get in a seat.
No, you, they run
you
it.
You can stay there forever.
There was like one forever. Office I looked at recently, insurance commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like the same two dudes for like a decade.
Yeah.
And they're both Republican. And the last guy, he ran unopposed.
Yep. Yep.
It's like, that's it. You know what? That should be our social experiment.
What?
Pick three offices that were ran unopposed. And we all go for it. Well, maybe not you. You have a...
Yeah.
Yeah, you have certain commitments.
I'm good now.
Yeah.
I didn't think...
But Marlon, you want to do that?
Sure.
Marlon wasn't paying attention.
I know. Well, he committed to it, though. He said sure. So that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to pick two offices that people ran unopposed.
Yeah, but...
And we're going to run for them.
Politics runs this city, man. It's kind of kind of unique. It's kind of...
I could do insurance commissioner.
Yeah. No, you can. That's the sad part about it.
Yeah, I'll be trying to make insurance cheap as hell.
That's what our insurance commissioner should be doing right now.
Don't seem like it.
Nope.
And then Marlon, what you could do?
Marlon can run whatever the hell he wants to.
Yeah, name recognition, baby.
Do whatever you want, man.
I'm just here.
Let's see. We could... Who's the person over property taxes?
Oh, Ashley's uncle.
Oh,
for real?
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
Yep. An assessor.
Yeah. Oh, the property assessor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think he's in this. I don't know. I ain't gonna say that.
He can say it.
No, tell him, cub, my property tax is high.
Let's talk about it.
But yeah, that's my lovely wife's uncle.
That is. That's what we're gonna do, Marlon. We're gonna find two offices here in the city.
Okay.
And we're gonna that were unopposed.
I'm down with the shits.
And
sure.
And then we're gonna cross support one another.
Okay. I'm here for it.
I love it.
Justin looking at us like, y'all boy, why?
I love it, man. I support.
I'm gonna do insurance commissioner. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, do that. And you should do something local.
Yeah.
Just to upset the setup, as they say.
Yeah, bro.
Upset the setup.
Bro, you could be councilman. You could be councilman for your district.
Upset the setup.
Yeah, bro.
I don't know
who you rocking with, man.
Freddie King's doing a great job.
Okay, so gotta find something else. What's some other offices?
The Alicia Boyd is our state rep. Gary Carter is our state senator. Troy Carter is our congressperson. I don't know. You should run for OPDEC again.
Again?
Yeah. Get on there.
Let's see.
Run against my dad?
What are...
Oh, that'd be great.
So, that'd be fun.
Confuse everybody.
Like, what the hell is this? Twice? Is this a typo? We do both.
Right.
Two for one.
I mean, Eugene and his son ran.
Yeah, I saw that.
Do it, man. Get involved.
Yeah, I think
I just want to point and say, I know that guy.
That's all it is. I know that name. Sound familiar.
Right.
Was he on TV? That cop was on TV? Yes.
That's kind of a legend.
Mm-hmm.
In these parts.
Anytime he was on TV, it was a bad thing.
Yeah, so the last two insurance commissioners have both been Republicans.
Republicans?
Yeah.
Some of these commissioners get salary too.
Mm-hmm.
I know public service commissioner, buddy of mine just ran. He won a couple years ago. Get an office and a salary, and you can sit there quietly. You know?
So the last insurance commissioner won unopposed because the Democratic member withdrew.
Hmm.
So it wasn't even a run. The primary election would have been in November of last year.
Hmm.
But
those are the seats that really matter.
Yeah.
Your commissioners. Every seat matters. I'm not gonna say it don't matter, but like those seats kinda have the largest impact on people's everyday lives.
Okay.
Cause, you know, insurance is going up, utilities are going up.
Right. Is there a utility commissioner?
Mm-hmm.
Bam.
Utilities.
There you go.
Public service commissioner.
Utilities. I can do that. Fuck some shit up.
Overlapping 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Shout out to everybody that's running. Yep. Wish them nothing but the best.
Good luck.
Good luck to you all. It's fun. And this work is fun if you have a passion for it.
That's it. You got to have a passion for it.
Because if you don't have a passion for it, you're going to burn out.
So, Marlon, November 5th, 2024. Glad we had that conversation, baby.
Shit.
Life comes at you fast.
Damn, I know that fast. All right, well, let me get to work.
We just going to drop the name in the bucket, dog. That's all we going to do.
That's it? Okay. Say less.
Your dad's phone is going to blow up.
That, my dad going to call me. Mom, what is this? I don't know. It's Martin's idea. I blame Martin on it.
I'm like, that ain't you.
Nope, ain't me. Mm-mm.
There you go, Public Service Commission, 5-member executive board. There you go.
Yeah, I think our representative is Mr. Lewis, young guy.
Devontae Lewis?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
My name sounds familiar. They heard him before. Yeah. But yeah, make sure y'all go vote this Saturday, man. It's an all-day thing, 12 hours. You can figure out 10 minutes out your day, go vote. And yeah, your voice be heard.
Exercise your right.
To not to party, but to vote. Like, that's important.
Yep.
We need y'all to understand that these offices impact our day-to-day lives, whether it doesn't seem like it or not.
True.
These impact the people that support the people that make laws. Mm-hmm. These are the people that pick and choose and support your city councilmen and mayors and governors and state reps and congressmen and senators and all those things. So if you're going to have an opinion about the city, you should then voice your opinion the way it was set up to do, by voting.
And if it goes well, next week we have a special guest who's an elected official. We'll see about that, now won't we?
Okay. Boom. That was a teaser right there. Dropping bars. Might Boom. Be an elected official.
Just might. So go vote.
Go vote. Find out. I can't see.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all for another episode of our podcast. Thank you for supporting, and we appreciate y'all.
Yeah, remember, OpDeck, election is Saturday. Go out and vote. Early voting is already over, so you have this Saturday coming to get out there and let your opinion be heard. And with that, that's another one.
Peace.
Out.
And that's another episode. Give us a like and follow on Facebook and Instagram at Daily Dollar Show Podcast. And listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and more.